something completely different because the former Cork hurler, Conor Cusack, has been doing tremendous work around Ireland ever since his blog, Depression is My Friend, Not My Enemy, went viral last year. We spoke to him on The Late Late Show. He was most eloquent on this subject. He is an advocate for lifting the stigma attached to mental illness, and his work has resonated with a huge number of people thanks to his compelling and, it has to be said, honest accounts of his own battle with depression. This weekend, he'll join a panel to discuss the issue of well-being as part of Failtia. And Failtia is the Festival of Education in Learning and Teaching Excellence. And Conor joins us on the phone this morning. Hi, Conor.
Good morning, Ryan. Yeah, it's good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you. How's the world?
It's good. It's good. I suppose I'm holding my phone in one hand this morning. I bought my wrist a couple of weeks ago in a club championship game. So that's probably one of it's one of many setbacks that players get when they're playing hurling. But outside of that, things are very, very good.
You broke your wrist, or somebody broke it for you?
Well, I play in the full forward line now, and there isn't too many gentle full backs all around the place. So Hell's Kitchen is alive and well in the hurling world.
Okay. Well, it's been good. It's good to talk to you since we last spoke. Obviously, you've been a busy man travelling around the country and going to schools. What is the point of somebody like you visiting a school in whatever part of Ireland? And I say that obviously in a nice way. I'm not accusing you of anything. But why do you go to the schools?
Yeah, so I suppose, look, I get a request from an immense amount of schools and, sure, and colleges, and I think I've been to over 100 at this stage. And I suppose the purpose of it, Ryan, is the feedback that I get afterwards, you know, because, you know, unfortunately, you know, our students, you know, each student that we have in the country, you know, he's the sole inhabitant and silent witness to his own inner world. And sometimes that's a world that can be engulfed in darkness. And one of the wonderful things we have, and I see with teachers around the country, is that, you know, many of our teachers are proven to be lanterns that are kind of illuminating the path for our students to emerge from their darkness. And by me going to school, it's supporting those teachers to support our students in all aspects of their lives, but I suppose in particular in the area of mental health and emotional well-being. And, you know, I've had some incredible experiences, and, you know, the future... Our future is not dependent on our kids, Ryan. Our future is dependent on our adults. And I see that in particular when I went to schools because, and you know, it's a very interesting thing, Ryan. I can nearly always tell the attitude of the principal within the school by when I meet the receptionist, because the receptionist nearly reflects the attitude that exists within the school. So if I walk in and a receptionist is there and she's a nice, bubbly thing, you can be guaranteed that the principal is the same. Or if you walk in and she's a big, stern face and you can be assured that when you meet the principal that it's similar. So it's obviously an issue that's existing in our schools, and in terms of the suicide rate and stuff like that, we know that it's very high amongst our young students. So I suppose my message is always about hope and about opening up the conversation. And it's a real privilege for me to be part of what's a new and fresh and exciting conversation that's going on in the country in the area of mental health and emotional well-being.
I'd wonder, how does a teacher, and you'd know more than anyone else, how does a teacher spot the student who's in trouble?
Yeah, so look, I think that, you know, I think a teacher is maybe a bit like a parent, you know, a student spends so much time in a classroom, and I think a teacher over time gets to understand and know their students, and, you know, some of the signs are very obvious, you know, of kids withdrawing and becoming more silent, and maybe with other kids, their difficulties might be that they're very excitable or different things like that. But look, there's many, many signs, and I think it's important that we educate our teachers about that and we make them aware about that. So, you know, we could spend an hour discussing all of those different things, but I think that teachers, especially the you know, not every teacher is a warm and kind person, you know, that has to be said, but I think the majority are, and teachers are in tune in what's going on for their students, and you know, it's important that if something is going on, that it's too late when the tragedy occurs. It's important to prevent that, and any student, Ryan, that is struggling with some aspect of their emotional health and well-being wants to be able to share that story. You know, Maya Angelou, the American poet, said, "There's no greater agony than the bearing of an untold story within you." And our teachers need to create that environment and that atmosphere where those students that are experiencing some kind of a difficulty can share their story and share their inner pain, because I have no doubt that they want to be able to do that.
Do you think that pupils can often be too embarrassed to talk about it? Because, you know, you remember, Conor, when you were 15 or 16, it's not a time you tend to want to open up to anyone, let alone an adult. So is that, that is the, I would imagine that's the invisible threshold one needs to cross to try and start a conversation, get a dialogue going.
Definitely, Ryan. And you know, it's about normalising the conversation. And if I could give you a very good example, I got an invitation a number of months ago to go down to Ballyduff in North Kerry to give a talk. Mm-hmm. And the organisers told me that the talk was for men only. So I was here to myself thinking, like, driving down the road, you know, this is Ballyduff, no, North Kerry. It's a very rural area, no more than the area that I live in Cline. And I said, you know, geez, will there be five or six or seven men down the side in the hall? The hall was full to the brim of men of all ages, from young to old and in between. Even a man came in with a pint bottle in his hand and sat down the back and he was supping away. And the reason, and they know what the conversation was going to be about, but the reason was that the community down there over the last couple of years had been highlighting and bringing in different initiatives in the community in relation to men's health and emotional health and well-being. And because of that, over a period of a couple of years, yeah, it went from being a kind of a taboo to a normal discussion and subject within the area. And so, as I say, it was a real example for me of the power of normalising this conversation, that below in Ballyduff and North Kerry, you had a room full of all types of people, all ages, working and not working, young and old and all in between, you know. And that's what we need to do within our schools, that we need to normalise the conversation around emotional health and well-being, because, yeah, and you know, especially, like, you know, fellas, Ryan, we're not robots or machines. We have emotions as much as anybody else. Yeah. And we need to allow our students, all of our students, but especially our boys, to be able to experience and to be able to express all the different range of emotions that we possess within us. Because if we don't allow our students to participate in that rich variety of things that go on inside now in our worlds, well, then we're denying them a tremendous opportunity to be able to enjoy and experience this world.
It's an I'm listening to you talk, I'm thinking, is it universal that, you know, young men don't talk, or is it a particularly Irish thing that, you know, the quiet father who lets the mother do all the talking and then the son doesn't want to talk, and sure, don't be getting into that namby-pamby talking about your feelings stuff. You know, Ireland hasn't, I don't think, down through the generations, been kind to being open about this kind of thing.
Yeah, and look, do you know what, Ryan? That's true to an extent, but I travel around Europe and America giving talks as well, and it's very much alive in those places as well.
Okay.
And you know, Ryan, it's not even about that young people don't want to talk, because I can assure you that they do.
Good.
They talk to me. They talk to me on the phone. They talk to me in emails. They do want to talk. But are our adults willing to listen?
Okay.
Are our adults willing to create the environment and come into a strong sense of their own person where they can be an outlet for our students to be able to talk? Because, Ryan, I can assure you, our students want to talk. And, you know, but the key thing is, our adults, are they willing to listen? And, you know, an anagram of listen is silent. And very often when a student talks, he doesn't need advice or anything like that. He might just need a teacher or a parent or an adult just to sit and listen to their story. And it might be all they might maybe want is just a hug. But I can assure you that our young people do want to talk.
Okay, you'll be at the Felcha conference on Saturday.
Yeah, you know, Ryan, it's something that I'm very excited about. You know, FAILTA is about celebrating innovation and teaching and World Teachers Day, you know.
Yeah.
And one of the innovations I really believe that we need in the education system is that we need to empower our teachers, you know, to be able to take up the mantle of regular self-reflection and an examination of their own relationships with themselves and with their students, because ultimately it's a teacher's personal effectiveness that will determine a teacher's professional effectiveness. And when Tomás O'Rourke and the organisers rang me about getting involved in this, I was really, really thrilled, because, you know, I think it's an incredible act of kindness by Tomás and FAILTA and the Teachers' Councils to be having this debate, because, you know, for some of our teachers that are experiencing mental health and well-being issues, well, this is an acknowledgement from them that, look, we know these issues are going on for you. And an event like this, you know, Ryan, can build a bridge for a teacher that might be suffering in a self-imposed sanctuary of their own silence, that it can build that bridge where they can cross from that island where they feel they're on their own, that they can cross that bridge into a community and an organisation of support, because it's incredibly difficult to walk that path alone, you know, and you know, none of us, Ryan, can walk anybody else's path for them, but we can certainly walk it with them. And through the FAILTA and the Teachers Council of Ireland having this debate at the event, it'll ensure that we can all walk it together.
Okay, I'm looking forward to it myself, I have to say. Conor, Maria was on to say she heard you talking in Kinsale, said you were excellent, worked in the mental health service in Australia, and the stigma that still exists in Ireland frightens me, but you're amazing and keep up the good work. So that's a vote of confidence there for
you. Ryan, could I just before you finish, could I just say, look, the upcoming budget is coming, right?
Sure.
And you know, in 2011, the government promised 20 million or 35 million a year for community mental health based services.
Yeah.
But over the last couple of years, they've only given 20 million, right? Mm-hmm. The mental health reform is currently, it's an amalgamation of 45 organisations, and they have this petition going at the moment. And we really need as many people as possible to log on and sign that petition, so that the government, not to give us something that they did that were not, or that they didn't promise, just to fulfil their promise in this area, because the mental health services, you know, it's the Cinderella of the health system. In Ireland, we spend 6.5% of the health budget on mental health. In the UK, they spend 12%. We have twice the rate of suicide compared to the head of population that they have in the UK. So you don't have to be a rocket scientist to work out that investment in this area, Ryan, it's not a risk, but a guarantee that we'll save lives. So I plead with the government and with the government just to fulfil their promises, not to give us what they didn't promise, but just to fulfil those promises, so that we can help to save and prevent tragedies and lives in our country.
Yeah, and sometimes we dwell on the physical infrastructure of a country and not enough on the emotional and mental infrastructure of a country, and I think that's something that hopefully they will be thinking about when they're putting the numbers together in the next few weeks.
Thanks, Ryan.
Conor, thank you so much. Good to talk to you.
Great talk to you, Ryan.
Talk to you soon. See you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.